Shalom, this is Stefan Yah. Are we eating ourselves to the grave? Most of us Americans, Christians, even believers, eating themselves to the grave. And thereby, the medical profession comes up with the idea that there's such a great stigma about that disease that we cannot be cured. We cannot be cured of cancer, they say. There's no cure. Well, I'm here to tell you that there is. I agree with you on that. We're going to go to Romans 14:17. And this is all about, is it all about eating? All about enjoying life? Is that what Yahweh wants us to do? Is to just eat, live, and be merry? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, I suppose. Well, why not? Okay, it was Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of Yahweh is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Ruach HaKadosh. Other scriptures that would go along with that would be John 16:10 and Matthew 23:23. John 16:10, if I may, for a moment. Then we'll come back to Romans, though. I imagine this broadcast will be, at least 40 minutes. So, here in 16, Messiah Yahusha is speaking, and talks about the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of course, there's much more about righteousness there. And in many other scriptures. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. He will magnify me, Messiah says. For he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And much more contained in there. So we read Romans 14:17, the kingdom of Yahweh is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Ruach HaKadosh. And we read there from John 16:17, or rather 16:9, thereabouts. Then next we go to Romans 6:5. We want to be like him. Want to be like Yahweh. We want to be like Yahweh the Father. We want to be like Yahusha the Son. Right now, Yahusha. Some say Yahshua. Well, that is documented on our website about that word. But why aren't they putting the emphasis on the first syllable, on Yah, instead of the Shua? That'd be a good question there. Romans 6:5. We want to be like him. And it talks about baptism into death, that like as Messiah was raised up from the dead by the esteem of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Oh, yes, we want to be like him, and we're in the likeness of his resurrection, if we are in the likeness of his death. Wonderful to show to you. We're going to be talking about, or I will be talking at least, maybe you'll be doing that too, about my wife who recently passed away due to that stigma of cancer that cannot be cured. It can be cured, but you have to enter into the easy, natural plan and stay with it and be consistent. And so it's not a stigma. It's not a thing of, you know, judging that this person didn't make it, that we're judging them for failing to keep up with a proper diet and to abstain from foods that will hurt them. It's not about what I'm saying here. I'm saying that the stigma of cancer is false, and that only a few people should be falling through the cracks, if any. 10% of them fall through the cracks and die because they don't keep the amount of water. But that's later on now. I am getting ahead there. So we read Romans 6:5. Now it's into Matthew 23:23. It goes along with the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Ruach HaKadosh. So Yahusha is speaking here. Yahusha, we believe that's the name of the Messiah. As we've researched here on the website, it's the same as we look up the word Joshua, only it's Yahusha instead. Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and aniseed. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, as you'll see. You do pay tithe of mint and aniseed and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the Torah. And those matters are judgment, mercy, and faith. Judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So the first part was the other. You need to tithe. And here it says tithing mint and anise and cumin. I don't think we have those ingredients, but we do tithe of our finances, of a 10%, and then a second, and then once in a third-year cycle, another tenth. Some people interpret that a different way. That's okay. They do it every 3 years. See, so they have a first tithe. That's a tenth of your income. They have a second tithe for the feasts. That's a tenth, because tithe means tenth. And then the third tithe, sometimes they take a tenth of their income and add to that every third year, which goes to the widows and orphans. But we do it in the third year of a seven-year cycle, because that's how I understand it and that's how I was taught. And it could be that I'm in error on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. But I can't be 100% sure, because I haven't... Well, I don't know. Stuck here against the wall, you know. I don't want to get off onto that right now. What we want to talk about is sleeping in Messiah. That's really the theme of this message here, and about how we fall asleep in Messiah prematurely. We eat ourselves to the grave. So tithing, we spoke of here, that I got kind of high-centered on that when I shouldn't have been. Judgment, mercy, and faith, these ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. And Matthew 23:23. Okay, what else can we go to here? And nothing else there in Matthew, I guess, for now. So we'll go to those that slept. 1 Corinthians 15. Well, Luke is closer. I like to keep adjacent chapters close chapters together, so it's easier for you to turn. I seem to have a problem here anymore turning to the Luke 11 goes along with the idea of the resurrection here, that Lazarus slept. Luke 11:11. You don't need to look all of these up, because it's just one verse. What does it say here? I think I got, now let me read it. It should be the wrong scripture. Luke 11:11. I tried to look these up ahead of time, but now and then. Well, it says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Ruach HaKadosh, that is the Spirit, to them that ask him? So, sorry, that doesn't fit into the message, but it is a good scripture. Let me see if it was the previous chapter. Probably not. No, it says there, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be you sure of this, that the kingdom of Yahweh is come nigh unto you. I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable on that day for Sodom than for that city. In Luke 10, well, could it have been 12:11? Oh, I'm so sorry. I've been busy on the phones, and that's my alibi, if it's a good alibi at all. Okay, so Lazarus slept. You know that story, that Lazarus and the friends of Messiah said that Lazarus is sleeping. They didn't say Lazarus is dead, even though that was also true. But the words are interchangeable. Death and sleeping are interchangeable. And for the most part, I see many scriptures that use the term sleeping in Messiah rather than dead in Messiah. We sleep when we're in the grave, so that we've got to get that concept through us. And that Yahweh gives us the free gift, the living water, the essential life, so that we can be alive in Him. By trusting, not in sacraments, in the Mass, in a pastor, a church, another friend, but trusting in Yahusha. Not trusting in some book or tape or website. Trusting in, even though those things might be wonderful, that we've, you know, heard tapes from people and CDs and DVDs, wonderful. 1 Corinthians 15, you know that it takes me a while to warm up in these messages here. I don't think I'm really, you know, turning up the burner yet, but this is my offering. This is what I have for you on this Erev Shabbat, and I've been hoping to do this for weeks and weeks to update you on what has happened in our family. 1 Corinthians 15:15, my wife has passed away. Is she asleep? All right, 15 through 20. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of Yahweh, because we have testified of Yahweh that He raised up Yahusha, Messiah, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Did you get that? Let's do it backwards. Let's read it backwards here. I don't mean literally backwards, but if Messiah was not raised, then neither can we be raised. But in this instance, in 15:15 of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is saying that if we are not raised, then Messiah isn't raised either. So we are found false witnesses, because we have testified of Yahweh that He raised up Messiah, whom He raised not up. So He didn't raise up Messiah, if it's so that the dead rise not. But of course, we know that the dead will rise. The dead in Messiah will rise. Those true believers, those of us who have trusted in Messiah's death on the tree and His death, burial, and resurrection, commonly called Jesus, but it is not His name. Neither is God the name of the Father. That's a title. We use Yahweh for the Father. But here I am getting off onto that, on the issue of the names, which is all fine and good, but not the intent of the broadcast here. So we move on, and thank you for joining us wherever you are in the world, whether it be in Southern Africa, in Malaysia, in India, Tahiti, and so on. Thank you for joining us. I'm very sensitive about your letting me bring the broadcast. And if Messiah be not raised, I skipped the verse there, so I'll back up again. If so be that the dead rise not, for if the dead rise not, then is not Messiah raised. And if Messiah, Yahusha, be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they which are fallen asleep in Yahusha Messiah are perished. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Messiah are perished. If in this life only, if we have hope in Messiah, we are of all men most miserable. But now here's the truth now about it all, and the summary. But now is Messiah risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. So my wife Penny Eber, or whoever, is not dead in the terms and the connotation that we have. It was a great loss for the family. You know, why do we grieve such a great loss? And especially Christians grieve a great loss when a believer dies. When they, on the other hand, think that they're up dancing around the throne room in heaven, why is that a great loss? Wouldn't that be a great gain? Wouldn't that be victory, the sting of death? But in all truth, they're sleeping in the earth, but still, it will be only an instant. It'll be a twinkling of an eye. It'll be a part of a second when the person actually dies, when the believer dies. From that time until he wakes up and sees Messiah face to face, it's going to be a split second. Huh. I cannot imagine. Yeah, it's awesome. Now I just lost my screen here. I think I'll let it go. It brings up that computer noise, that sound, Windows noise. We don't want to play that right now. I think we're okay. Other things you really need to know, but we're afraid to ask, right? Okay, verse 51. Don't ask why I say those things about my computer. 51 now. I do respect your time, and I'm trying to hurry. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. So he said, we shall not all be dead. You know, it could be interchangeable. But here I like that English word better that they used. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So that's not even the blinking of an eyelid. That's not a twinkling of an eye. It's just, you can't perceive the twinkling of an eye. So in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the those asleep, or as he says here, dead, and the dead shall, quote unquote, shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. And it goes on there. That a parallel passage, of course, is 1 Thessalonians 4:16, in the moment in the twinkling of an eye, and Revelation 11:15, if you wanted to look those up. But I think we'll move on here. I think we should. Going now. Well, yeah, okay, yeah, that is a good one, because we are going to have to go to Revelation sooner or later. Hope this fits in right now, though. Revelation 11:15, then. We will read that. Because there is hope, the blessed hope, that we will be redeemed from sleeping or death by Messiah. 11:15 says, let's see here. Was that what I said, 11:15? Well, anyway, it says, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of Yahweh and of Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. So I tied that together with 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52. That does go together. He is our blessed hope. John 4:10. Talk about that free gift. The gift of eternal life. It is a gift. It's not something that we can work for by keeping his Torah. He wants us to keep the Torah, but that doesn't gain us one inch into the kingdom of Yahweh, in the kingdom of heaven. John 4:10 says this, as Messiah, Yahusha answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of Yahweh, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Yahusha the Son gives us living waters. Or as it said here, he would have given thee living water if the woman at the well would have asked, the Samaritan woman would have asked Yahusha, he would have given her living waters. Revelation 21:4. There will be no more tears in the New Jerusalem and in eternity for the thousands and thousands and millions of years. No more tears, other than maybe, I wonder if there'd be tears of happiness. I saw tears of happiness on my wife's face. We're almost through looking at the scripture verses for now, I think, but I hope this blesses the congregation of Yahweh by our sharing these verses, which was 21 verse 4 in the book of the Revelation, 21:4. And Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. So there will be no more sleep, no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I've been going through that, a lot of sorrow, crying. Now she is not crying, she's asleep. But I have been crying, and you can probably even tell my voice has been ripped. She's been gone now for 2 weeks. But, you know, I still have those moments of sorrow and regret, crying and pain. And verse 5, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Aleph and Tav," or in the Greek, Omega, "the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his mighty one, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving," now it's just not a person, I mean, if I fear Yahweh, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's a certain kind of fear there, and I won't get onto that track. "The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderer," or rather, actually abominable, "and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers," yes, sorcerers, that's those who deal in drugs and pharmakia, and those who use them, "and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So yes, I am against over-the-counter drugs and under-the-counter drugs. I'm against both of those types of drugs. Some you might, or a person you might not say, but somebody will say, are necessary to abate the pain and so on. But I say, well, okay, then if it has to be drugs for pain, let it only be the minimum amount needed. Just, you know, don't overdo it, as was the case here with my beloved wife, and actually perpetrated her death and caused it. I think she died a few days earlier, or maybe a week earlier, if it wouldn't have been, well, it could have been, she never would have died if they wouldn't have used drugs. I am not sure. That is my opinion, that she probably would not have had all the problems if she wouldn't have used any of the medicines, of modern medicines of man, that they're making such a gigantic a profit over that. But well, we can get into that more on another study there. I'm having a book from the Brian Call, which is on back order because everybody wants one, about these common drugs, such as lorazepam and the others. Can't think of her. And I won't. I won't mention 5:20. What is Isaiah 5:20 or Yeshayahu 5:20 and 21 say? "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil." We saw that going on in this instance here with my wife. They were saying that evil is good, and that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, and that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, they're wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." It's a matter of heart, isn't it? It's a matter that the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? "Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink." So it goes into the issue there about drinking. So we said there'll be no more tears in heaven. We read now from Isaiah 5:20 about woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. We talked about the free gift, the living waters, the essentials for life. Not necessarily the literal waters, even though we should be drinking 8 glasses of water a day for our health, especially if we have cancer and get serious now. And we should be using some of those good vitamins by the companies that I gave you before. What is it? HopeForHealthUSA.com. HopeForHealthUSA.com. And they feature they feature the Anamu, which helps cleanse the system. It's in a tablet form. And they have the Essie caps, that's it. It's about $30 a bottle, a little bit expensive. I think it was $20 or $30 a bottle. But wow, can it do wonders for us, help heal us? But sometimes the problem we have here, about one or two verses left, sometimes our problem regarding the cancer and, of course, the stigma that nobody can be cured, supposedly, one of the problems is it's just eating too much or eating too much of the wrong foods, it says in Proverbs 23:21 that relates somewhat to that, as well as Deuteronomy 21:20. Proverbs 23, chapter 23, verse 21. And this is only the tip of the iceberg. There's many more scriptures that have to do with overeating. It's a sin to overeat. It says in verse 21, Proverbs 23, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. Now the Pharisees, I believe it was, insinuated that the Yahusha, the Messiah, was a glutton and a wine bibber. Well, he didn't get drunk and he didn't overeat, even though the scriptures doesn't clarify that in the Gospels there at that point. But it would be a sin for him to overeat or to overdrink. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Being glutton also might pertain symbolically to those with loose morals. For the drunkard and the person with loose morals, gluttony shall come to poverty. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Reading from Proverbs 23. What a beautiful passage that was. And then Deuteronomy 21:20, which is a little more difficult to understand or fathom, to fit that in here to what I'm saying about overeating. But it's not that difficult. It's not tough. In the Torah, way back in Deuteronomy 21:20, which appeals to us and applies because we are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. 21, such small, tiny printing I put there, 21:20. And they shall say unto the elders of this city, this is our son. This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. So, he's guilty of not pulling himself away from the table. And so they're gonna, and all the men of the city shall stone him with stones. Oh, what? Just for overeating? Are you kidding me? No, that's what it says. The men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night on the tree, but thou shalt bury him that day. So the death penalty was abrogated, at least temporarily, if not permanently, by the Messiah. So we don't go out and stone somebody for overeating, but, I don't know, that wouldn't be a bad idea. But it was unfortunate that some certain friends of my wife encouraged her in some way, by at least by not warning her, and by probably bringing her up to the candy counter so that she could buy these things, and then probably bought them for her, that she ate a half a box of sugar cookies and immediately plunged into bad health within hours. The sugar went to the tumors, fed them. She had breast cancer, and she had some of this cancer tumors in her brain. We all have tumors. But when she fed it with sugar, having defeated cancer for 2 years and having a healthy life for 2 years, but she went ahead and took that and then had some sugar, like a whole bag of sugar. Yes, then she was out of it for the rest of the last month of her existence. She just became a zombie due to the drugs and the sugar and so on, in my opinion. And I know her better than anybody else, because I've been with her for 41 years, with my wife Penny. And now she sleeps in the earth. And I just wanted to underline that one word about glutton. There it is, Deuteronomy 21:20. Oh, yes. Just think if she would have been sober enough to realize that you cannot overeat on certain things, especially certain types of foods for cancer victims, is lethal to eat sugar. She knew that. And then she regretted, as I go into my harping about her unrestrained, unabated appetite regarding the the sugar foods, which she knew was lethal. So that would be in my view, a sin. I'm not saying, well, then she's a sinner. She's to be judged, and I'm not saying that because I can't judge her to eternal fire, and I wouldn't want to do it anyway because I love her. But anyway, in my view, that was a sin according to the scripture, and so we need to know how to get away from having an unrestrained appetite, an unabated pedal to the metal appetite that is not healthy. Her friends advised her, you need more protein. You need more drugs. Where's the beef? Stefania, where's the beef? Well, there's a little bit in the refrigerator there, and we had some. It's enough. Well, she needs more protein and more of those drugs. Well, I would say, instead of where's the beef, I'd say, where's the juice? Where's the carrot juice, right? And, of course, as you know, the celery. We need to put a little celery in there. So some of the ingredients that we are taking, but we should have taken a lot more and would have prevented all of this. Some of the ingredients were oatmeal. We could have that in the morning. I think even Linus Pauling, Dr. Linus, would have agreed with that oatmeal is fairly good in most cases, although, if you put a little milk in there, let it not be, over a few spoonfuls, if any, because the milk can be destructive as well. Animal products, as we found out later, too late, we found out that, well, it wouldn't have been too late if we would have, went with a program all the way. I really regret that. But there was many, many regrets. How am I going to, why is this happening to me? Why am I dying now? Why does it look so final, so serious? Everything is final. It seems so final when they roll the stretcher in to pick me up, to take me out to the Gateway Garden for the very I'm leaving my home for the last time. I'm going out the door. It's too late to turn back now. Kudos to Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose there back in the 70s. It's too late. It is too late to turn back now, honey. Yes, it's definitely too late. It wasn't too late then. To a certain point, anyway, to where a person still has awareness and can drink. We can drink that juice. We can drink, now here are the ingredients, water. That's 2 liters of water per day. That's about 8 glasses. Maybe we could all do that. I'm the worst offender now when it comes to this stuff that I've mentioned so far. I'm not the worst, but I'm not the chief, but I'm one of those who doesn't have a correct diet. So I can preach to myself that we need good foods, a proper diet. We need to get bed by 9:30. But the ingredients are water, and then we need to get a good juicer. If you can't get a nice, expensive, in Hallelujah Acres, that's www.H Acres, H standing for Hallelujah, hacres.com, they show the champion juicer in there, the champion, and it's quite expensive, $350. Perhaps you can go to the Goodwill or something, to a secondhand store, and get one for much less, maybe $50 or so, but brand new. They're somewhere at $350 to $500 for some of these juicers. Now, that's very expensive. And we can spend an hour over the counter juicing and cleaning up, or preparing the food, then juicing and cleaning up. We could spend over an hour maybe doing that. Maybe we could spend as little as, 20 minutes or so, especially if you don't clean up afterwards and just save it till later. So, what are the ingredients, Stefania? As I was saying, well, I just have written down here blueberries, cantaloupe juice. Some people say that there could be a dangerous problem with cantaloupe. I don't know. I just continue to use cantaloupe and cantaloupe juice. Blueberries, water. Even you can juice, if not juice, sweet potatoes. If you're not juicing it, then please eat them anyway. But this would be raw. You're not cooking and destroying the enzymes. And the, now I've forgotten the word for it. It'll come back to me in a moment. I think it was enzymes was the word. Ginger root, sweet potatoes, blueberries, any kind of berries are good. Strawberries, cantaloupe, water. Of course, the carrot juice was about in the top of the list there. For your health, the carrot juice, along with a little bit of celery, which you need to chop up into little one-inch sections so they don't wind around the drill spindle there. If you need to buy a less expensive juicer, Juice Man Jr. is okay. It's kind of there's a basket, and it spins really fast. Kind of dangerous there. It spins around 3,000 revolutions per minute, but it might be quite a bit cheaper to get a second-hand juicer of that type with a basket type of, in other words, the basket is your cutting device and straining device that turns the fruit into juice. You should have these things on an empty stomach. We shouldn't fill up with a whole bunch of other things, and especially bad stuff for us, and then turn around and have juice on top of that. That's not going to help us as much as if we have more or less an empty stomach, or an empty tummy, if I can, a little more taste there to what I say, an empty tummy, and go ahead and have some nice fresh juice. Don't let it sit around for too long. I'm not getting into the all-encompassing message here, but I do need to say that get into the juice and drink it as quickly as possible. If you have to leave it sit overnight, it's better than warehouse juices that, you buy a bottle of something and it turns out there's only 10% juice in there and the rest is destructive. We need to stay away from genetically modified foods, GMOs. We need to stay away from a lot of things, a lot of bad stuff. We need to get exercise, and it's recommended by DrDay.com and many others to get 20 minutes of exercise. I would say that's wrong. I think we need to get an hour of good exercise in one way or another, whatever you can do. If you're handicapped still, there's a way to get that exercise. And heavy exercise is good, depending upon you. I mean, catered, tapered, and custom fit to you, the type of exercise that will be good. But I would consider, or you would consider hard exercise. To me, I would say, well, that's nothing. But to you, you might say, well, that's hard exercise. So that's more than what you're used to. Stay away from the television, especially the bad programs. Surround yourself with good believers in Messiah, or those with an uplifting character, not with those with a worldly television mentality. And you know that they've been programmed. They call it programming on television or radio. Pretty much need to stay away from those kind of friends and relatives who will give us bad influence, bad advice, maybe cause our premature destruction. So, and I'm not blaming a certain person. If she is listening right now to this broadcast, I'm not blaming you, because her own mother, my wife's own mother, would have given her the same advice. So, to take more drugs, more protein, more of that stuff, you know, the milk, meat, and potatoes. Well, there's nothing wrong with the potatoes, per se, in my view. But, so her own mother, a loving mother, would have told her the same thing. But we need to avoid this stigma about cancer. Cancer is not a terminal disease. Maybe for a few percent of people it is, but if you look at the authorities on this, tens of thousands of people are being cured by using the proper diet, the 10-point easy plan of having good fresh air, exercise, getting to bed by 9:30. And my rule is don't watch television. Maybe you've got some good shows on. I don't know. And you know, eat well, eat those juices, drink them, and properly too. We don't want to snack between meals. When we do eat, we want to thoroughly chew our food. If it's not juice, we want to thoroughly chew it. We don't just gulp it down. If you're at work and there's just not enough time, well, that's, you know, you're going to pay for, your body will pay for it. Why do I want to live longer in the first place if things are going to get worse anyway? Well, I just have higher hope. And I have respect for the body Yahweh gave me, so most of the time I'm faithful to that. Sometimes I violate that rule. But I don't want to be a glutton or a wine bibber of excess. I want to be around uplifting people who lift up Yahweh, who have respect for Him and His laws. I want to eat the right foods. I want to get clean. If I feel clammy and I need a shower, if I feel down and depressed, and this time of year, I'm speaking in North America, at our latitude here with the Pacific Northwest, it is depressing this time of year after the Feast of Tabernacles, the typical months of the 10th and 11th, 12th months, and part of the first month are dark. There's only, you know, like 9 hours to a day. What would it be in Alaska? It would be even worse. But there's a gloom about it, a gloom. And then my wife has died. She's gone to the grave. And I could just be babbling in, or what do you call it, drowning in my own babble. And tears, and crocodile tears all the time. I could go hog wild with that. And really, you know, there I see her pajama, her robe, her beautiful blue robe, her pinafore or something, a nice sequined red shirt that she wore. And I could, all of her possessions in her, and in her personal possessions, and letters, and little, what do you call them, little things from the novelty shop, cute little things that she'd get. And stuff. I could really get sad if I started reading some of that or looking at some of that stuff and taking it to heart and saying, oh, what a shame. This reminds me of her. This reminds me and everything. Oh, I'm just going to throw it all out and get rid of it so I won't be reminded of her anymore. Well, that's the other extreme. I want to be reminded of her, of my bride, love her very much still. And, you know, it's like now. Now it's back to the honeymoon period when I look back at our life and at Penny's life and I say, you know, she could do no wrong, as if she had done no wrong, you know. As I could forgive all the things. Well, the friction that we had, that every marriage has, I don't want to completely overlook. I want to face it factually and realistically. I'm not going to ignore things that happen. I want to learn from our mistakes. I'm not going to just say, oh, I forgive and forget it all, you know, and then I go and make the same mistake. Well, that's not any use purpose. That's just vanity again. You know, we want our life to be fruitful, not fruitless. So let us continue to press on in Messiah and press on in the heavenly calling that He has given us, to the high calling of Yahweh, and not be brought back to the yoke of bondage. You know, I could say, well, I'll celebrate my holidays with my relatives. We'll light up the tree and give presents to one another, exchange presents. And if somebody gives me a cheap present, well, then I'll return in kind. You know, I could get into all that. But no, I want to keep my eyes on Yahweh and do it scripturally. I want to have that retrospect now of looking back over my shoulder and seeing my wife and our marriage. And that she had that retrospect of regret, that hindsight of, oh, what it could have been, you know. And I'll never see our dog again, or this little knick-knack was the word. You know, I'll never be able to touch my husband's face and look into his eyes and hear his voice doing broadcasts on the MP3 files for Yahweh.name. I won't be able to communicate on her Facebook. I don't like that, but she communicated on Facebook and the text messaging. She won't be able to do that. She won't be able to smell the fresh air and, you know, see the ocean again and the mountains. And we lived in such a beautiful area, California, Oregon, Washington. Oh, yes, it was a heavenly place to be for the most part. No more happy people. Well, it'll be in the twinkling of an eye. It'll be in a split second when she sees if she's judged as trusting in Yahweh for her salvation and trusting in Yahusha the Messiah, then it'll be a split second when she sees him face to face. For me, it won't be a split second because I'm going to have to struggle through life some more here for another however many years, maybe 20, and or maybe even longer. But I believe Messiah could return when the 6,000th reign of year and reign of man is over with and completed, we go into the rest year, the 7,000th year. But even if it continued after... Whoa, yes. All right, if you're going to do that, let's have some more noises here. Let's have that one. And hopefully everything will come up on the screen. I don't know why Bill Gates plays the music here while I'm trying to talk, but I'll have to shut him off someday. So it was a wonderful marriage for the most part. And ordained in Yahva, called by Yahva. I'm looking at some other notes here, see if I haven't forgotten to say anything. Wanted to thank you all for your emails. Wonderful email. However, I've only gotten a few. I wish I could mention the people, the handful of people who have gotten through. Most of those emails don't get through for some reason. When you hit the contact button, it doesn't work. Maybe I should just change that to writing in my email address, which is, I'm going to give you the email address here, and then if you just use that, I think you can get through. Some of the Windows 7 just don't work with my email contact button, so... Yeah, okay, we're through with those notes. So the email address is StephanYah@YahvaYahweh.name. And StephanYah is spelled with a T. It's a Hebraic word for the common word Stephen. StephanYah is TSEPHANYAH. So the Heavenly Father's name is in our name. StephanYah@Yahva. That's YAHVAH. Yahweh, YAHWEH.name. Now, I know that's long, and you probably didn't get it anyway, but I tried. I tried, and, someday. I didn't tell you about the wonderful, how long have we been going here? About 45 minutes, so it looks like maybe we could go an hour, and I could probably get everything in. And, let's see, another note here. The drugs cause serious problems that... for a while she was out of her mind, and she'd like eat the cell phone or eat a telephone or eat bad stuff for her. She didn't even know what she was doing. And was that the brain tumor or the drugs causing that? Well, it could have been both. I think it was the drugs causing it. So we need to maintain the proper management of our health and our life and stay away from damaging products. And probably those drugs are not kosher anyway. I don't know. They say that they're only synthetic. But where do synthetic products come from? They don't just come out of thin air, so it could be from unclean animals. And there are kosher products. Someone said that we need to deal with a doctor who knows these things, who knows the kosher, who knows the good vegetarian dieting ways. So that would be helpful if we had a good doctor to start out with who really knows. I can't think of the term right now because I'm on the air and I can't think. not a pathologist. I don't know what it was, but I'm sorry. But we have in the service, the memorial service for my wife, we had Hezekiah Haas from TNT. Let's see, what is it? TNTRevealed.com, Torah and the Testimony, and Yeshua for Jesus, what is it? Yeshua, I don't know, I don't use that one, Yeshua for, Jews for Yeshua, that's it, I think, or Yeshua for Jews.com. Hezekiah Haas and gave a wonderful message, and I taped it, but then the machine deleted it somehow, and so we missed an awesome message. I took a few notes. Hezekiah also talked about marriage, that you shouldn't just look for your high spots of always wanting to be, the idealistic marriage, but there's going to be high and low spots in the marriage, and don't just be jumping from partner to partner just because you're not always living on the high side. There'll be high spots, medium and low spots, but throughout the marriage, we don't discard our first relationship with our loved one, unless, of course, they die and then we're not under the law to them. But we don't discard our mate, our spouse. There is a another man who spoke there, Marshall, and he gave a message of salvation. And he said, don't look for greener grass. You know, don't always be looking somewhere else for your fulfillment when we should be filled in Messiah and trust in Messiah for our salvation, for our forgiveness of sins through the blood of Yahushua Messiah. Hezekiah brought out in this message that we only have one life, but we have many opportunities. And it was just a very encouraging message. We had sharing time from people, and it was just we were situated in Greenwaters Park along the Willamette River, and the autumn leaves were very colorful. There were yellows and reds and browns and green, and some sunshine out there, and you could just barely see the river just going by straight by us out all those windows. We had great food. We had some tempeh, which is kind of what is a vegetarian plate, and just a lot of good plates there. A lot of good meals were served and desserts. It was just wonderful. We went up to the grave, to the Memorial Park, Forestville there, and enjoyed a time of fellowship up there and the interment of my wife and praying for each other, you know, sharing how wonderful it was to live our life, and that we were able to share it with Penny, my wife. So may her spirit rest in peace and be ready for that resurrection, whether it be the first at the end of the thousand-year period, when there will be an innumerable multitude, according to one of the last chapters of Isaiah, an innumerable multitude that will have the opportunity then to accept Messiah's plan. We just didn't believe it. If we had some kind of a barrier, lack of faith, then we'll have every opportunity to accept the plan, the way of life, Yahweh's lifestyle, and our walk in Messiah, that He's going to give us those opportunities. We only have one life, but many opportunities. Stay with your first spouse. If they're abusing you or something, well, you don't have the freedom. It doesn't say in the Word, if they're abusing the spouse, it doesn't say that they can go out and get remarried. If they're a drunkard, it doesn't say we can go out. Or if they spend a lot of money, we can't remarry just because they do that. And we've had studies about on the website here, YahvehYahweh.name, on marriage and remarriage, divorce and remarriage, and so on. DNR, it's commonly called. So looking over one little thing I didn't mention here about the depression. In a death, I'm noticing the lack of lighting, because we don't have natural light where we live here. We're in a what they almost called a pneumonia gulch, which it isn't really, but there's a lot of beauty here yet. But it's mostly darkness and cold, and not real cold, but it's bad enough to make a person really depressed and to look around at all the house and the property that was ours, and now is just mine, unless I find Mrs. Perfect or Miss Perfect come along, and then it will be hers and mine, and we'll give our life to Messiah together. But you know, I just feel so dedicated to my first spouse, to my late spouse, that I'm not even considering that at the time. But when you know, when it happens, it will happen, or if it happens. So I have to be open to that as well, to finding a good lifetime companion to fill the void in my life. Because it is really, really tough to be a bachelor. You know, now I see how single parents and, you know, bachelors and bachelorettes, how tough it is. I remember my early days up until I was in my early 20s. When I was a bachelor, and I hated it. I went to the assembly every day. Nobody was there except Yahweh and I prayed every day. And then finally, my wife's name came to me. I didn't even know her. She wasn't in the same town, but her name came to me, Penny. And I was so joyful. And then a little bit later on, a month or so went by, and she called me on the love line while I was working at a radio station, and gave me her name, and then so we became man and wife. It's not quite that simple, but pretty close anyway. And yeah, we came from a similar background. We came from middle-class families that had, you know, wrapped up in education, science, and technology, and money, and material possessions, and you know, and religion as well. But religion wasn't the Yahweh wasn't first place in our life. And it's taken me this long. If it'll take me longer to actually get my heart and my motives integrated fully into Yahweh, to love Him with all my heart, soul, and mind and strength. But that I resolve to do. But whether or not, you know, I just need His power. It's not on my own. I pray Yahweh will bless you with a good physical health, and that it's not impossible to overcome the so-called of cancer, the stigma of cancer there, and that you know, not only the living water, the essential life from Yahweh that He said in John 4:10, but physical water as well. And well, people warn about the quality of water these days. Well, I drink it, but it's good for you. So you just can't go wrong drinking lots and lots of water. But the better quality of that water, you know, I don't know whether bottled is any better or distilled. There's been some controversy about distilled water. So I just don't, you know, I don't have the final facts for you on that, or I can't dogmatically say that this type of water is better than another. I would say just get some and start drinking. Let's drink lots of water now, brethren and sistern, every day. And try to get those 8 glasses. That means going to the bathroom a lot, like probably every hour and a half, or maybe even less than hour and a half. So that's a lot of interruptions. The boss will say, hey, where are you going? You know, and I say, well, I'm trying to keep healthy. You know, I don't want to wind up with urine poisoning, so can I just run to the bathroom? It'll only take me 2 minutes, and I'll outwork everybody else in here, which I've done. But they didn't like my Sabbath keeping, so they eventually would lay me off and get me out of there. Oh, well, things have worked out pretty well, I'd say. I've worked at ski resorts for 13, 14 seasons, and enjoyed you know, skiing for more than that, downhill and cross-country. And you know, I should consider myself blessed. If you're in South Africa or someplace, you probably, or India, you may not, well, you might get close enough to the snow there, but I doubt that many people in the world, percentage-wise, have enjoyed life as much as we have here. Yeah, but I think it's about time for some, discipline to be enacted upon our posterior. Our spiritual posterior needs to be worked up a little bit. Stir up our spirit in the name of Yahweh, and that way we can walk with Him all the more. If we have these, you know, a little bit of fear in our life, that if we don't trust in Yahweh, well, we're not going to make it. Let's do that today. And once again, where was that verse there in John chapter 4? Or I'll just read the whole part here if I can't find it. So I covered everything there. And please listen to the next broadcast that I come up with on about the drugs that I find out from reading that drug book from theBereanCall.org, or get it yourself would be even better, because I'm not going to bring out everything that you could get. Well, where was it? John something or another. Can't even find the notes, but they're gone. Oh, there it is, John 4:10. So surrounding that. And then we'll have to sign off at 59 minutes into the broadcast. Thus saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, how is it that thou being a Jew, Messiah was a Jew, asking drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Up to that point they didn't anyway, and until Messiah died for us, and the new covenant and all that. So verse 10, Yahusha answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of Yahweh, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, Thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou then hast this living water? Art thou greater than our father? And then he's skipping. Messiah said, and whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And then 6:36 of John, as we run over the hour mark here briefly, but I say unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. Where's that? John 6:36. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And then skipping a verse to, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of which he has given me, I should have nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Hallel Yahweh. Shalom.